I want to invite Wayne Johnson, brother, pastor,
thank you, brother.
Whatever you call yourself now, missionary,
everything,
man of many hats, Wayne. So good to
be
have
here.
You.
Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see all of you, and the church is full. And I assume you guys had good Easter services last week, celebrated the resurrection, yes or no? Yeah, I see the beautiful displays here and there. Take your Bibles this morning, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to bring you a message today entitled, A Blade of Grass. You know what a blade of grass is, right? Some of your grass, hopefully you've mowed it by now. I've been gone until this past Wednesday, and I noticed my yard was getting a little too tall, so I called somebody in Hutchinson to please run out and mow my grass. My neighbors are thinking I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do. And so we've been on the road, and so when we got home, we needed to mow it again, and I weed whacked this week. And so you guys know what a blade of grass is, right? It's hard to translate the word blade in Spanish. And so, but a blade of grass, you understand what a blade of grass is, and that's the title of the message. 1 Peter now, hopefully you found that, chapter 1. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Okay, 23. Chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth, how long? Forever. The Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and its flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here in the middle of Kansas. And thank you for allowing us to have our Bibles and be able to open them. And thank you for this church and this Sunday. And thank you for the resurrection as we celebrated last weekend, your death, your burial, your resurrection that gives us hope and confidence that even though we die, yet shall we live. And one day the resurrection of our own bodies. And God, I thank you for this congregation and our time together. And Lord, as we read down through this passage and we think about grass, we can certainly see it here in this town and this rural community and on the highways and byways and in the fields. And God, I pray that as we look at your word today, that your word would be so real to us that we comprehend it, understand it, and that we do something with it. God, I pray that you'd help me to preach today. Help me to be understandable. And God, I pray that you would speak to every heart, young or old, male or female, that you would do a work in us with your word, by your Holy Spirit, that we will go away from here with something from the Bible and from you. Lord, help me to preach. We pray this in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. A blade of grass. Now notice in verse 23. Look at verse 23. It says, being what? Born what? Again. Okay? So right off the bat, you're talking about something that most people would question. Being born again. And how many of you have been born once? Some of you have never been born. I can see you're not paying attention. Okay? You were born the first time of your mother and father, and so that's the first birth, and the Bible here is talking about a second birth, or being born again, okay, so we can make real clear understanding of that. Now, when we were born of our first birth, notice it says, the second birth is not of corruptible seed, but when we were born the first time, we were born with corruption, okay? That means we are subject to decay. That means that we are subject to death. That means we're not going to live physically forever. That's what it means to be born the first time of corruptible seed. Because when you're born again, you're born of what kind of seed? What does the Bible say?
incorruptible. Okay? So think about what Ecclesiastes 12 talks about in having this corruptible seed born of my mother and father, physical birth. And think about what happens to us if we live long enough. The Bible says to rejoice in the days of your youth and remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Because if you live long enough on this earth, you will have no pleasure in the dead. You can live so long on earth that you want to die. Have you ever been around somebody like that? I just want to go home. Now, I get pleasure out of eating. How about you? Can you imagine living to the point in your life where you have no pleasure when you eat? Ecclesiastes 12 talks about it this way. Here's how it talks about. We cannot stand upright. You know what it means to stand upright? You get old enough, and what happens to your back? What happens? You begin to walk with a lean, right? That's what it talks about in Ecclesiastes 12. You begin to lose your teeth. You cannot hear very well. Hopefully you can hear me today. But you cannot hear very well. You get up early. Not because you want to. But you just wake up. You think, I'm going to be able to sleep late. But now I can't sleep late. This is part of being old. You cannot climb up heights. You become afraid of climbing up heights. You're unstable in your feet. And so, no climbing. Some of you are older and you're still climbing, aren't you? Just showing us how to do it. But the Bible says you become unstable with your feet. Your hair turns gray. How many of you young people, you got a few grays already in there? And some of the women in this congregation, they got a lot of gray. You're just not seeing it. But hair turns gray, and hair will also turn loose. This is what it's talking about in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. These are the senior years. And then eventually comes death. So we are born with a sinful nature. This has been passed down through Adam and Eve. And when sin is finished, the Bible says, it bringeth forth what? It brings forth death, James 1:15. We're all born this way. We came from dust, and dust we shall return. And this is what happens to us because of corruptible seed. We were born of human seed. We were born of the flesh. And so this is a reference to our first birth, this corruptible seed. Now, we celebrated last Sunday the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And all of our sin, all sin, past, present, and future, were laid on him on that cross. And he was innocent, right? He was innocent. It was laid on him. And he died. And they put him in a tomb. And early on Sunday, what happened? He rose again. And one day, if we have been born again, we will have this second resurrection. All those who are in Christ will be resurrected to forever be with him. And we look forward to that day. But right now, we're living in our corruption. The Bible says this, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible, this flesh, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." That's going to be a great day. So corruptible seed leads to our death, the death of our body. This is mortal life. Now, so what you have in verse 23, when you look at verse 23, you have a comparison. You're having a contrast there between two seeds. One is corruptible and one is incorruptible. One references the natural physical birth and one represents the spiritual birth. Born again means not by human means, but it means to be born spiritually. Now, Jesus said it like this in John chapter 3. If you remember John chapter 3, Jesus said, you must be born again. Okay, you have to be born a second time. We will not see the kingdom of God. We will not enter into the kingdom of God unless we have been born again. Let's try that again. Unless we've been born again. Okay. Now, Nicodemus, when he heard Jesus, he was a little confused. Because Jesus said, you must be born again. And so he asked, how can I climb in my mother's womb again? He's a little confused. And Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is, and that which is born of the spirit is. Everybody's born of the flesh, but not everybody's born of the spirit. You must be born again. And 1 Peter says it like this, being born again. You see that? Now, notice in verse 23, it says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. And then it says, by something. Do you see that there in verse 23? By what? The word of God, which liveth. The Bible is the only living book. It says it lives and abides how long? Forever. That's the teaching of the Word of God. Now, the Word of God, the Bible, has life and it has energy. And when it is sown like seeds on our hearts, when it is sown on our hearts, it has the capacity to take root and produce fruit in your life and mine. Do you remember Matthew chapter 13? They talked about four soil types. Do you remember that story? This ought to go over good here in farming. When I get to the city and preach about this, they know what we're talking about. Different soil types. Okay? There were four of them. And do you remember that seed was thrown on all four of those soils? Do you remember what the seed was? The seed was the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is good. Nothing wrong with the seed. But it was sown on four soils. The soils represented different kinds of hearts of man. Four kinds of hearts. Do you remember the first one? The first one was stony ground. The seeds fell on stony ground and took no root. The second one, the seeds fell amongst thorns and bristles, amongst the weeds. And what did the weeds do to the seed that began to grow? What did it do? It choked it out and it couldn't grow. And the third, seeds were, they fell on hard ground. Okay, hard ground. And the birds came and picked the seeds off the ground. But the fourth soil, the fourth heart, was good ground. The seed fell on it. It took root. It grew. And it produced. That's what the Word of God can do. It can grow and it can produce fruit in our lives if we embrace it, if we believe it, if we receive it, and if we apply it, we can have this fruit in our life. So the Bible is very, very important to all of us. Now the Bible says here that it's living. The Bible is not a dead book. The Bible may be called an old book, but the Bible is always contemporary. God wrote this book and it's written for all ages. And so it's living and it's able to help us to become spiritually alive. Okay, and so verse 23 is a comparison, a contrast between the natural and the spiritual, between the corruptible and the incorruptible, and everybody understands, right? You got that? Look at the next verse. The Bible says in verse 24 that all flesh is as what? Okay, I got one person. Let's try again. All flesh is as grass. Okay, you with me now. All people. Every person in here, every person in this world is like grass. Each person's life can be seen in the field of grass. Now think about it. We spring up in life in a spring, young and tender and green. You ever said somebody was green before? You ever said that? What's that mean? Is that a compliment? Usually not. Means they don't know anything. They're green. They're greenhorn. But we spring up. Now, in the spring of the year, there could be a mower blade that comes by. There could be a fire that burns through. There could be a flood, and it rains too much. And the grass is cut down in the spring, okay? But if the grass is left alone, the grass will grow. It'll go through the spring, and into the summer, and into the fall, and into the winter. But eventually winter will get it, and it will turn brown and turn loose, okay? So I want you to think about that pattern, spring, summer, fall, and winter. Now, where are you? Some of you, you're in the spring of your life. Look at them over there. You're in the spring, young man. How old are you?
19.
You're almost out of spring. You might be beginning of summer. I'm not in summer anymore. I'm in the fall somewhere. Some would say I'm on the backside of the fall. Some of us in this room are in the winter, and we in the late winter in this room. But if we live long enough, and we make it through the spring, some don't. We make it through the summer, and some don't. We make it through the fall, and some don't. And if we make it through the winter, not all is going to make it to the end of winter. And life is going to be over. And that's why the Bible calls our life like grass. We're going to be cut down.
Mowed down. Our strength will be gone. Our skin will turn to, our beauty will turn to wrinkles. And the casket one day will come to our house. And that's where we will end up. The grass withers and it dies. And then the spring comes again. And a new generation begins their life. And the process is repeated over and over and over again down through time. And the Bible says that all human beings are flesh, and flesh is as grass, and the grass will eventually turn brown. And what the Bible is teaching us is that there's no stability in our flesh. There's no guarantee of life, no guarantee of tomorrow, no guarantee of health. Do you understand that? That you can be here this Sunday, and by next Sunday, we could have had your funeral. Do you understand that? That's the reality of life. That our flesh is like grass. We can be mowed down at any moment by a car, by a plane, by disease, by someone else. Some people went to church last week, and they're going to celebrate. Yes or no? Some went to breakfast last week in fancy hotels in Sri Lanka. And they didn't go home that day. I remember a father saying, I kissed my daughter when she went out this morning to go to school, but she's not coming home tonight. They had a school shooter, and his daughter got shot. And this is life. It's going to come to an end. We will soon fade, and we will soon wither away. And this is a quote from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And so people, we are as numerous as grass in the field, and to the earth we will return, and we will be cut down, mowed down by disaster, by disease, by design, by decay. It's like hay in the field when it is cut. In the morning, this morning, it was blowing in the breeze, but now it's been cut down and it's laying down. Withering away, shriveling up, drying up, and disappearing. All flesh is like grass. Now notice what it says here now. It says all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man like or as the what? You guys are quiet today. You got a Bible? I know you have a Bible. Look at it again. It says the glory of man is as the, what kind of part of the grass?
the flower of grass. Now, how many of you guys like flowers? Now, I love flowers, man. I'd like to plant flowers. I don't get to see them very much. Most of my flowers bloom while I was somewhere else. Somebody, please send me a picture. I'd like to see my trees bloom. But all the glory of man is like the flower of grass. Now, you say, what is the difference between grass and the flower of grass? And I'm going to ask you this question. What is the difference between a poor man and a rich man? It is the difference between grass and the flower of grass. But I want to say to you, whether you're a poor man or a rich man, we're going to end in the same place. Death. Now, James chapter 1, listen to the Bible. The rich, that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. So I want you to think about the glory of man. The prestige and the honor and the power and the youth and the beauty and the health and the talents and the wealth and the clothing and the cars and all that man prides himself in and all that man lives for shall fade away and disappear. I always say sometimes it's easier to drive an old car instead of a new one. You know why? Because the old one's already got dents and scratches and french fries in the floorboard. And when you get a new car, you don't want anything to happen to it. Isn't that true? See, before you parked the car anywhere, it didn't mind if somebody dinged your doors because you got other dings. But you got a new car, now you got to park way out there and walk further if you don't want to miss your car. But what's going to happen to your car? You try to keep it up and put it in a barn and store it and do all this business, but rust is working. And it'll all fade. Its glory will fade. Its glory fails. And the glory of man is like a flower. And honestly, we all love flowers and we admire flowers and we admire the glories of men. And many of us sinfully covet these things, but the flowers are wilt. How many of you guys have received flowers before? Maybe you received them as love or some tragedy in your life. You received them and there you have them in the kitchen or on the table or in the living room. And boy, they're beautiful. You stop to smell them. But what happens? The petals begin to what? Fall. And the things begin to turn black and turn ugly. And my daughter, you know, she got married a few years ago, and she wanted to keep her little, you know, what do they call that thing? I don't know. Bouquet. She wanted to keep it. She wanted us to keep it. You know how that goes. So I've got to be delicate with this and hang it in the closet. It was a beautiful bouquet when she got married. And so we kept it in the closet, and you know what happens. Stuff falls off of it. The baby's brown and all. And so I told her one time when she came home, I said, you take that with you. And she looked at it. She said, don't look at it good. I said, I know. This is the glories of man. And many people are just running for the glory. They're living for the glory of man. They want more in this world, but it's just as the flower of grass. It'll fade. Whatever is shiny will become dull. Whatever is exciting will lose this excitement. And this is life. And this is what this passage is teaching us. And so our bodies and our glories will end. The Bible says we all go the way of the earth. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to what? And so we need to see ourselves this way. We need to understand life itself. You got to understand life. That's why it's good to kiss your wife goodbye in the mornings. That's why it's good to do what you can today, because you might not have That's why it's good to write a note, call someone, and tell them that you love them. I can't tell you how many people I run into. They have regrets. We are destined to die like a blade of grass. It springs up in the spring, but for how long? That we don't know. And when grass comes to the end, there is nothing more we can do, but there is something that continues. And the Bible says in verse 25, it says, but, do you see it there? But the word of the Lord does what? It endures. The Bible will remain, and the Bible, notice in verse 25, it will abide forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but not my words. The Bible is eternal, but my words shall not pass away, and God's truth will remain. The beauty of the Bible never fades away. Its power never weakens. Its message is eternal. Everything else in this world is unstable, uncertain, and passing away. But God's word is forever. And the Bible says in verse 25 that we can find the gospel in the Bible. Notice in verse 25, they said here that this gospel was preached unto them. Now, what does the word gospel mean? It means good news. Good news. I have good news for you. That Christ died for our sins. That he was buried because he was dead. And he rose again the third day. And Jesus said you must be born again. And we need to receive the good news. And we need to share the good news. That Christ died for your sins and my sins. That he was buried. And he paid for our sins. And he died. Shed his blood for us. And arose from the dead, victor over sin and what? And because he arose, you and I will what? We will arise. Not because of us, but because of Christ. And so I'm asking you, have you received the good news? I didn't ask you if you heard it. I'm asking you if you've received the good news for yourself. Yes, Lord. I know I'm a sinner. I thought wrong, done wrong, said wrong, been wrong many times. I have sinned against Almighty God. I've done some things I should. I've lied, stole, cheated, stuff, whatever. I'm a sinner. And I understand that Christ died on that cross and dripped that blood, shed that blood for the payment of my sins. And he died for my sins and he rose again. And if I will believe on him, if I will receive on him, if I will call on him, he'll forgive me and he'll save me. That's the good news. And even though I die, yet shall I live, and one day in the future, I'll come back to Christ, and what is he going to do with my ashes and my dirt and what my body turned back to? What's he going to do with it? He's going to resurrect it up and put it back together, and I'll be a perfect human being. Finally. And that's the good news. And that's what this passage teaches. And so the Bible says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, there will be no end for God's word, but our life will end like a blade of grass. And now I ask you, most important question. Have you been born again? Have you been born spiritually? Most important question. Jesus said you must. Be born again. Born of my mother. And I need to be born of God. Let's stand to our feet.
Every eye closed, please. No one looking around.
This is our time of invitation. If you want to come forward here and kneel here at the altar, you're welcome to do that. But you can pray right where you're standing, or you can sit down and pray, or you can kneel right where you're at and pray. But would you be born again today?
would you realize that our life is like a blade of grass? And all around us, grass is falling. Every day, every week, every month, every year, people are dying. It's a part of life. And sooner or later, it will be us. And no matter how rich I am, or how much I have, or how much I've accumulated, it will all fade and perish. The Bible is right. And the Bible gives us the message of the gospel that Jesus Christ died in our place on that cross and shed his blood for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Now, I want to ask you, have you called on the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you cried out from your heart and said, "Oh God, God, hear me in heaven. God, forgive me of my sin." Have you ever called out to him and asked him to forgive you, to save you, to come into your life? Have you ever asked him and told him you want to be born again? Through the Word and through God's Spirit, you can be born a second time spiritually. Now, just because your brother's been born again, just because your preacher is born again, just because a friend is born again, doesn't mean you're born again. Just because you live in a house where other people are born again does not mean you're born again. You must be born again. You yourself, you must be born again. Will you this morning? Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. You might not make it to tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Will you be born again today? Right now. This is your invitation. Remember the seed? It's a good word. But it fell on four different types of heart. And if you will hesitate right now, just humble yourself right where you're at and open up your heart and allow the seed to come on good ground, the seed of the gospel will take root. If you call and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. You can be saved from your sin. I'm going to be quiet. This is our opportunity to pray. You pray unto God. Oh God. Ask him to save you. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be born again. Realize the good news of the gospel and realize our own sinfulness. And be born incorruptible seed. Eternal life. Born again. Let us pray.